Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
Don't you, Jody? Ready? You ready to do it? It's coming. Big breakdown's coming. You ready? Ready? Do the whip. Ready? That's right. I changed the music up a little bit. And then.
I know.
Yeah. We're going to the movies. We got Mr. Dom, the movie man, our Siskel and our Ebert of the horror world. How are you, Dom?
I am doing excellent.
Awesome. Yeah, I had to change the intros up a little bit because they were getting, I was putting some videos up there on the YouTube channel, and they were getting, flagged.
Yep.
I mean, they won't take it down. They're just saying I can't make any money off. I can't monetize.
They want to demonetize you. They hear something, music in the background. Somebody else is like, "Give me my money."
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
If I want to monetize that video, I have to get the rights to it or something because that music in it. So anyway, episode 90. My God, we're only 10 away from 100, Jody.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to dance naked on a table when we hit the 100th episode?
No.
All right. Well, I mean, I'd be the only one to see it.
I don't care.
We'd have to buy a fucking table. All right. We got some good ones here, though. If you guys want to hear any of the past times we have gone to the movies with our dear friend Dom, you can go over there, nightoflivingdreads.com. You can subscribe over there at Spotify and at Stitcher and get all the episodes that way as well. Slowly but surely, I'm trying to get them on the YouTube page. I probably have like 3 YouTube accounts out there. You know why? Because I make them and then I forget the fucking password. So, yeah, I probably got and I couldn't tell you how many emails I have.
Shame on that.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you how many emails we got. we're doing some movies, and you know the one thing that we always do when we watch movies, at least us horror movies, we like to have some meds involved on our half. What's this, Home City Kush?
I think
that's right. Our half is being brought to you by Home City Kush. What's your half being brought to you by? What is the Dominic side of this podcast? What kind of meds is he on?
I'm still getting my shit from Shady Louie down on Liberty Avenue. So,
woo, wait, man, Shady L, boy. I'm telling you, man, he's
shout
he's,
out to Shady Louie.
Woo, Shady,
keep
Louie.
It real, bro.
That's right, man. East side, or is it east side? I don't know.
North side.
Way up north. Anyway, all right, we're going to, now here's the thing, we're missing a couple people, okay? Mm-hmm. James, he has some technical difficulties, he has some equipment to replace before he can join us, so hopefully, maybe by the weekend, possibly. And Don, he had a little family emergency, and so he couldn't be with us tonight. So it came down to the three from hell here.
Mm-hmm.
Three amigos.
Eddie, the three from hell.
And but we're taking some of their movies, okay? James, this week, before he had his little technical meltdown, he picked Wolf Cop. I believe that came from, 2014,
mm-hmm.
Almost at 11. We do have a 2011 movie, and that would have been Don's pick. Priest from 2011. And then Dom, you picked Infliction from 2014. I picked Uncle Peckerhead from 2020. Don't tell me nothing good came out of 2020. Uncle Peckerhead came out in 2020. And that's my pick. Now, you might be saying, well, what happened to Mrs. Dredd's pick? Well, let me tell you something. Mrs. Dredd's picked, and we're not going to review this because, you know, for one, Dom, you missed the memo saying that Llamageddon was an actual pick, and maybe you thought it was a fucking joke in our group chat thing, but...
I never saw the name. Well, if I did see it, I didn't know it was being serious, and then I made up a list of the four movies, and I'm like, these are the four, right? And someone was like, yeah, that's it.
Probably me.
And because I'm terrible with group chat, I never checked again. And, yeah. I missed Llamageddon until you told me the llama movie, and I'm like, what fucking llama
what
movie?
What the fuck? Where'd that come from?
I'm like, God, we just did four of them.
Yeah, Llamageddon, that was Mrs. Dredd's pick, and being that, you know, it didn't get watched by you, I tried to watch it twice. And we've had movies in the past where it was just so incredibly tough to even sit through, even for a entertainment factor. You know, some movies are bad, and you can actually get some entertainment out of it. This one was like... Man, really? Did they really do that? Right? And then the llama would show up, and you kind of, you're like, oh, God, man, if they wouldn't have shown that llama, I'd have been out of here. It was one of those. So I'll leave it at that. Llamageddon, check it out. You can find it on Tubi.
Yeah, or at Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay. Jody is pumping this like she's being paid by these motherfuckers.
It was my pick.
Discount.
A discount. Yeah, free. You have to give it to me. So what we'll do, I guess we'll start with Don's movie, Priest. To give you a little quick rundown. This is from the movie's little wiki site. It says it's loosely based. It's considered an action horror film. Is what it's considered. Directed by Scott Stewart, stars Paul Bettany as the he's the main character there.
Okay, the priest.
Yes. It says, loosely based on the Korean comic of the same name by Young Min Woo. You like that? Huh?
Well done.
Thank you. in an alternate universe, humanity and vampires, they've just been going at it for centuries. Okay. Then there was the last vampire war. A veteran warrior priest, okay, lives in obscurity until his niece is captured and kidnapped by who? Fucking vampires. Now, Dom, when we were talking off, you know, before we started recording, and you had mentioned something that I've said, and I think something that also Mrs. Dredd has said, it's not really my cup of tea as far as movies. Right. It almost had a science fiction type element to it in a sense, but I get the horror. I get, you know, I guess because you have vampires in it, but I got hooked into this one kind of quick. What about you, Dom? Did you because you said it wasn't kind of really your cup of tea either, but it hooked me kind of quick. I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, the Like the movie's beautiful to watch. It's done real well. The description, I think you said the genre, what'd they call it? An action horror?
American action horror film.
Now, I'm looking at my notes, and what I wrote down, and I think this will describe this movie a lot better, is this movie is a post-apocalyptic, Western, kung fu sci-fi vampire movie.
No, that's very descriptive, and that's should be on Wiki. You need to get over there and change that shit.
That's what it needs to say, because you have what you get in kung fu, like the old, that's what at times I felt like I was a kid watching the old kung fu movies. Yes. Like you get the fight scenes and they're done excellent. You get it has like a post-apocalyptic setting, which kind of confuses me because they're riding around on these like motorcycles that are like super tricked out, but then they go to these towns, and once they get into towns, it's like 1700. Like there, nobody there has technology. Like I think I saw like a record player. Like that was the most advanced technology this town has. But these other people are riding around on motorcycles and stuff. But then the vampires. I love the vampires. I thought the vampires in this are cool because I love when vampires are different. And
yes,
to me, these vampires were just great. And I mean, is it a horror film? Yeah, it is. But like, I think it's better to not really call it a horror film, but maybe a post-apocalyptic Western kung fu sci-fi vampire movie. It seems like it has its own niche. But I fucking loved it, and I'm glad I watched. Like, it was real good.
Yeah. No, I like I said, I got hooked in kind of quick, and I got, I don't know, little feeling of like the Assassin's Creed movie. Because I kind of dug that one too, even though it wasn't like my kind of movie. It was outside of horror, but I kind of got, you know, into that whole Assassin's Creed movie. And that's kind of almost the feel that this gave me. I can see the kung fu element to it. Mm-hmm. It was, I mean, it earned over $78 million at the box office.
Oh, wow.
Against a $60 million production budget. So they made a little bit on that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean the story itself, the story is cool. Mm-hmm. What they tell in the movie. Like, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's an excellent story, and like I said, it's got all them elements, and it does. It's not something that I would have saw and been like, oh, I want to see this. Even if I saw a trailer, I might have like, yeah, it's not my kind of movie. But I'm glad it was picked because when I sat down and watched it, it's like, oh wow. Like, it's like I said, it's shot good. The visuals are great.
Yes.
The acting is on par. The characters are all cool. There isn't someone in this movie that I hated, like,
right.
Other than, like, the people maybe you should hate, but, like, sure. Not, like, all this character's terrible or something.
Right.
And the vampires, like, I got to praise them vampires one more time. I love vampires.
They were very, very, as you said, different. They were not. They almost kind of like got around on all fours. If we want to take a minute and describe this loosely, maybe leave a little bit for the imagination for any listeners. It's up to you guys. These vampires were crazy. These were not your, you know, your Lugosi fucking vampires, you know, or even, you know, your Interview with a Vampire type vampires. Although we're getting closer, these were pale white, just snarling, crazy, quick. Oh my god, dude! It was awesome.
They made the backstory as vampires being like a completely different species. They're non-human to begin with. So they didn't make them appear human in any way. They're almost animal-like and almost alien-esque, almost sort of, because they are this species that we're not used to seeing. And then the idea was that the queen of the hive spared this former priest and made him the first human vampire. And like mm-hmm. I said, like the story and stuff is great. Mm-hmm.
It is.
And the way they did the backstory and everything else. Yeah. This movie is awesome. I love it.
It's a good watch. Miss Dredge, do you want to add anything to that? If not,
really.
Give us how many skulls out of 5 skulls. We have 4 movies. We got a total of 20 fucking skulls that each movie can max out at, right?
No, 15.
No, we're 15.
15. All right. Okay, so I wasn't going to match. Shut up. How many skulls are you giving?
I give it 4.
4 skulls?
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Yeah, I mean, and I'm guessing.
I think the only reason that I don't give it 5 is the fact of that I like you said, lean
no
more
women
on the
vampires.
Side.
It was gender neutral, right?
But I lean more on the side that it was more sci-fi action than it was.
It kind of felt that way at first, but you know, now that I think about it, maybe I would change my mind a little bit on it. It's just
nothing scared me in that movie.
Well, yeah, okay, and I guess that's what you kind of look for in a classic horror movie. You want to be horrified, right. you and you know.
But it's a great movie.
It is a great movie. So, Four Skulls, mm-hmm. Mrs. Dredd's. Dom, what are you giving this one, brother?
I know how much Mr. Dredd's likes to do fractional math, so Dom gives this one 4.25. I think it's I got to give it that extra quarter because even though it's not like you guys have all said, it's not a horror film. There isn't anything scary in it, but it's good. It's a good movie with a good story, and it's done well, and it's executed well. And I'm happy that I saw this film. Like, I would recommend someone give it a chance, sit down and watch it. It's a real good. So I give it 4.25.
Awesome. 4.25 mm-hmm. out of 15. This one's sitting at 8.25, 8.25.
Yep.
All right. You know, funny thing is I'm going to go right along with Dom. And this is, again, not one of the movies that I would gravitate to. Mm-hmm. I'm more of your, I guess, horror film purist. I mean, it's these, you know, either zombies or a slasher or, you know, something like that that, you know, you can say, yes, that's a horror movie. You can't say that with this because, again, you don't get scared. But it was very visually pleasing. It was entertaining to watch. It kept you kind of, you know, not really on the edge of your seat, but captivated. You know, I didn't find myself trailing off like I did numerous times in Lamageddon. but I also encourage everyone to go watch that one. Compare and contrast the two movies. Shit movie, really good movie. 4.25 skulls is what I'm giving this one as well. So we have, 13 out of 15.
12.5.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, 12.5.
Oh, easy peats. Do you not know the math?
No.
Four.
They got fractional with them.
Threw fractions in there.
12.
Threw fractions in there. I'm done. 12.5. All right.
God damn.
It's 12.5. It is. We're not lying to you, bro.
All right. I think it's a conspiracy. Right. No, 12.5. Okay.
I think it's a conspiracy that the host can just be like, all right, 4 here, 4 there, 4 there. That's 14.75. Like, wait a minute. What'd you get? A DVD package.
Right.
In the mail.
Yeah. All right. Who's working for who?
Everyone. Yep. What happened?
All right. I'm going to get myself off the hot seat. And let's go with your movie, Dom. Infliction, 2014. Again, another one that this is one that I was like, okay, I can see myself getting into this. This has that horror, almost serial killer type, you know, when you're just looking at the cover of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, the cover, this movie cover, it's like, okay, I can almost get into that. And then I started to watch it, and then I'm, anyway, go ahead.
When we were in the chat and we were picking our movies out for this, I had picked, if you go back through and see, I didn't see your message. You must have said it before me, after me. I don't know when you picked yours, but I had actually said, oh, Uncle Pecker has my pick. And then you were like, you said it was your pick. And I was like, are you serious? And you were like, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, well, hold on a minute.
So I went
and looked real fast, and I saw, just like you said, I saw the cover for this. And I read the brief summary about two brothers are documenting a murder spree in North Carolina, and this is a found footage movie. So I'm like, oh, you know what? This sounds like a brutal serial killer film. Here we go. Here's my pick. And so the movie started, and in my notes here, this will sum it up in the beginning. Let me clarify in the beginning. 22 minutes in, and I've wanted to shut this off for 19 minutes now. So it starts, and I was kind of like, oh, no, what happened here? I made a horrible pick. Everyone's going to be, I'm going to get roasted for this one. fair enough. Let's watch this awful movie that Dom picked. But around 30 minutes in, the actual story itself starts to take shape, and everything that like I thought was boring and like why did I pick this and everything else just suddenly gets forgotten because it's like, whoa, where's this movie going?
Right, right.
And because you don't really, you know, something's going on at first, but you don't know what. Like these two brothers, you know, they planned this thing out and they're talking about how long they've talked about this. And they got cameras set up for everything because they want to document every minute of it. And one of the first people they go to is a judge, and they break into his house and they said they have him all tied up and everything, and he's ready, and they're going to kill him, and they put him on video and stuff, and they start talking to him about how it's decisions. He's like a god. He has the power in his hands of a god or whatever, godlike choices and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they kill him, and I'm like...
What'd you think about that kill? I really like that, dude. I thought the practical effects in that kill with the judge, the slicing of the neck...
Yeah.
I thought that was very well done.
Yeah, it looked legit. Like
it really did.
They did a good job on it, and I was like, all right, but like, what is this? And one of the things I wrote right after my notes was like, are these revenge killings? So the question mark, like, why are they after this judge in the first place? And then the picture starts to come together, and it goes into these are two kids who were horribly abused at home. They got put into foster care, and they were given this foster family, and they loved it because they were put with good people for the first time in their life. And their parents went through the system where they went and did everything they had to do.
Right.
And they did it, and they were able to get their kids back because legally that's how it works, and the kids had no say-so, and the kids were taken away from the foster family and put back with their parents, who were still monsters. They worked the system. They played the game. Mm-hmm. They come here, do this, answer these questions correctly, blah, 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 kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the two brothers want revenge on everybody who was involved in that, the caseworker, the judge who made the decision. There's a neighbor. They ran to a neighbor's house. Yeah. House for help one night, and neighbor opened up the door and saw the two brothers there, bloody young kids, and just closed the door because the neighbor didn't want involved, like that yeah. kind of stuff. And it's like, wow. And then at the end, they get to the parents, and you find out that the whole thing, it's where it gets real dark, was there was a secret room down in the basement where mommy and daddy were making child porn videos, abusing their children and having their children do all this awful stuff. And dad still got all the videos, and he's put them up online, and he's and mom just acts like actually she don't know nothing about it. And there's so much, it gets so there's more dark stuff that like I'm not even going to get into. I don't even know if we should, because I almost want to save it for the viewers. Like I don't want to give away everything, because
this is one of those ones that has some twists and some turns, and it goes down a specific path of storytelling. You know what I mean? It's almost like you almost have to take that without knowing too much to get the full effect of this movie, because that's exactly what got me. At first, I was like, oh, it's one of these like homemade type like movies. Okay, found footage, I dig that. I kind of dig some found footage movies, you know, if done right. They're really hard, I think, to pull off in a good way. This one wasn't done too bad. And yeah, you know, as you went, you know, you mentioned the story, you know, I'm like, okay, all right. And right, you're probably dead on with that time, right? About 30, 40 minutes, I'm thinking, this is getting kind of interesting now. Okay, the story does start to open up and reveal itself, and you start putting two and two together. You know, all the little or things that you thought were insignificant in the beginning of the movie, all the boring parts now start to make sense. Cameras everywhere. They were abused as children, put on camera. They would be taken to these little, you know, this room, and there's cameras put in their face, and they were made to do horrible shit in front of these cameras, and now there's cameras everywhere. His dad, didn't he mention that, you know, his dad, you know, always, you know, with a camera in his fucking face and shit?
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, that there's cameras, and you start to put it together, and you realize, wow, This director did a really good job. Director is, by the way, Jack Thomas Smith. Did a really good job of kind of putting this story together the way he did, to where you get halfway through the movie and you're starting to realize what that was in the beginning of the movie that you saw, or mm-hmm. that comment that didn't seem to be out in left field somewhere. Now all of a sudden makes sense. Mrs. Dredds, what'd you think of this? Because you actually, we put it on for the first mm-hmm. time. It was kind of late at night. I mm-hmm. fell asleep probably about 20 minutes in. How ironic. and you actually finished it. And you're mm-hmm. like, Kurt, this is a really good movie. I mean,
yeah, it was kind of slow at the beginning and stuff. And then, like I said, I was pleasantly surprised with how the movie took off and mm-hmm. how it ended.
You know, a roller coaster is slow in the beginning too. You know, tick, 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 and then it goes for a.
But I mean, when you first start watching, it's one of those movies that don't give up when you first start watching it, because it does. It looks like a generic, almost a generic fan.
Like a fan film. Well, yeah, a fan film almost. Just, yeah, too. Like some of the fan films I've seen.
But it's good. I like this movie.
Now, you know. Well, I guess we can just go, because I was going to say something. That you know, talking about the acting, okay, mm-hmm. I really like the dad. Even though he was such an asshole, I just liked the way his character was.
Yeah, he was believable.
He was so believable. And, you know, that's the one thing about the one brother. It was Jack and Kenny, or John and Kenny? Let me get down here. John and Kenny. John's character, he is the older of the two brothers. When he got pissed off in certain situations, when they would encounter the social worker, when they would encounter, you know, the neighbors, and he got pissed off, it was fucking believable. I can't even shit on the acting too much with some of the main characters. The mom, their mom, no. Very, very bad, very bad. But some of the, you know, the acting of the characters that you saw most of the movie, I didn't think were all that bad. What'd you think about that, the acting, Don?
Yeah, no, I have to agree, especially the father character. Like, the role he played, the way he plays that character is just, it comes across exactly how you would kind of think that kind of person would be. And it for a minute there, like, it almost helps you forget that you are in fact not watching actual found footage, mm-hmm. because it does feel that authentic and real with what the character, the way he portrays him, like, yeah. And he's sick and dying to begin with,
right?
And their objective is to make sure that, I guess, they get there before he dies.
Yeah, that's what I got from it. And then, you know, their sister creeps in. There's a whole little backstory that we won't get into.
That was a surprise. I like the sister character. I have to say, I do mm-hmm. like her a lot. Maybe at the end I was kind of like, because she got a little stupid. Like, yeah, it went a little bit south with her character there.
Right.
Yeah, I liked her too.
Later in the film, yeah. But like when she first popped up and shit, I was like, oh yeah, go girl.
Yeah, because she was whipping. I told Kurt, I said, their sister was whipping the shit out of him.
There was a part
when she
where
was whipping the shit out of him with the fire poker.
Yeah.
My goodness. So
older sister still kicking her little brother.
Right. No doubt. And so, I guess so we don't give away too much, because this is one, man. This is another one. I'm very happy that I saw this. At first, I didn't think I was going to be.
Yeah.
Unlike Lamageddon, I didn't think I was going to like it. I still haven't finished the fucking movie. And I still don't like it. Don't say it gets better.
It gets to the
better.
Point of gross. No, it just.
Yeah, it just. Yeah, it's horrible. But anyway, fucking. See, that damn llama just sneaks in all the time. Anyway, Infliction, why don't we just. Why don't we start with you, Mrs. Dredds, and then I'll give mine and we'll save Dom's
I'm going to do 3.5 on that one. You got to go.
Oh, here we go. See, I fucked up with fractions the first movie. Now we're just going to lay them on now. Lay it on. All right, 3.5.
Yeah. Yeah, cause just because it had such a slow start and you had to get so far into the movie before you started. Mm. But I like the movie itself.
Okay.
I'd own it.
You'd own it? You'd buy it? Okay. 3.5, ownable, Mrs. Dredd's. I'm actually going to go 4 on this one because, you know, I think it was the story and I got at least really engrossed by the story that was there about the abuse and about the revenge. And I'm to the point where I'm cheering the brothers on. Yeah, get that motherfucker, man. Fuck that. You know, put you back in that abuse, man. Kill that bitch. You know what
Don't
I mean?
Give so much away.
I didn't say it happened. I said I was saying it in my head.
You're a dork.
But you know, so I end up, you know, cheering them on. So you know, that's why it got a 4 for me because for one, it was believable.
Yeah.
And two, it kind of had a very, I guess, socially relevant, you know, plot there, if you will. And then I think it was done well and yeah, 4 for me.
That's a high rating.
I'm gonna say I'm glad that you went before me because you've inspired me to actually change what I was gonna give this and raise it. Because I was gonna go 3.5 skulls on this, but I decided you're right. This is a 4 skull movie. The only reason why I wanted to give it 3.5 is because that beginning was just hard to get through. It was just like slow and it wasn't holding my interest. But the hour after it is so engulfing that like it I couldn't, at that point, I didn't want to shut nothing off. I wanted to know everything about this movie and the characters, they pulled me in, the story pulled me in. I mean, and I'm happy, like, because like I said, I regretted it at first, but like after that half hour, that's I would tell people to watch this movie and I would tell them, be ready, the first 30 minutes are slow, but get through that and you're going to be real happy by the end of it, because by the end of it, I do look back and say, that was a good movie.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
If it would have been slow the whole way through, I'd have called it a bad movie. But no, because of that, it's a good movie. I'm going to give it 4 skulls.
Awesome. So we got, 3.5, 4, and 4. It's 8. It's 11.5.
Yeah.
See that? I was dead on that one, wasn't I?
Nice.
All right. So we're going to move on. Good old Uncle Peckerhead. That's right. That's an actual fucking movie. When I seen this movie, it was even out. There was a movie in horror called Uncle Peckerhead. I was like, hell yeah. Why wouldn't I want to, you know, see this? And then you look at the cover art for the movie. It shows a white van. Over top of the white van is a, you know, enlarged, you know, kind of a zombie looking, bald headed looking motherfucker with a big bloody anarchy sign behind him. And these 3 fucking kids in front of him with guitars and drumsticks. I had to watch it. So basically what we have here is we have a 3-piece punk band. Drummer, let me get the damn names here. All right, we have Judy, who's part lead singer, and we have Doris. Is it Doris? No.
Mel's the drummer,
okay. And Max is the bass player, right? Or no, does Judy play bass? Judy played bass.
Max played guitar and sax.
You know the movie better than I do. I've watched it twice, like 3 times.
I've watched it twice too. Oh, man.
And so yeah, they trying to, they get a little gig, you know, like doing a little, like, it almost looks like a statewide tour when you look at their map in the beginning. It almost looks like a little statewide tour. It's like six spots, six shows in 7 days. And that's going to be their big thing. Possibly a seventh show, full circle back home. Mm-hmm. At, like, one of the biggest, like, the mecca of, like, local bands is what I'm getting. Do you kind of get that, Dom? It's, like, the big mecca right there. This guy, Armar, or whatever his fucking name is.
The Booker, or whatever. He has a label. I don't know what it is. He put the show together, I think. Yeah, he's the Booker.
Right. Amir. That's what it was.
Amir, that's it.
He was kind of a dick. He was like, "Oh, Judy, I've been in the office for 11 minutes already and waiting for you to call." Just a real smart ass fucking, right. You know? But anyway, they are looking to, you know, they got this little gig planned out. They're trying to, you know, end it with this big finale. Their van gets repoed. They have no way to travel. So they decide, which is kind of a weird way to try to get a ride on, like, a little statewide tour like that. They make flyers. Hey, can we borrow your van, you know, from this time to this time? And, you know, and they start putting them on, you know, tagging all these windshields. Well, they tag one windshield of a gentleman named Pecker, or Pecker Head.
Peck.
His friends call him Peck.
Peck.
And so
because his dad always called him Peckerhead,
right? Yeah, he was, because they're like, "No, that's not your name." He's like, "Well, it's the name of dad, is what my daddy always called me since time I was, you know." This is, I don't, anyway, there's something going on with Peck, and they figured that out kind of soon when he decides, okay, look, I live in this van. And, you know, I'll take you as long as you, you know, you pay for the gas and, you know, we can make a little money, you know, and eat and whatever. I'll drive you around. I'll be your roadie. Throw me a little cash. Boom. Pay for the gas. We're good. Well, That's fine until they get to the first show, and they do their little thing. And these shows, for one, there's like six people there.
I've done it, brother.
You know what I mean? You're right, that there's like six people there. And
I go 4 hours to play in somebody's dad's garage one time. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the strife of a struggling, you know, musician, you know, I give you guys credit. That'd be hard to have to fucking deal with, man. And so they feel that, you know, they should at least make a little bit, okay?
They got $3.
They got three fucking dollars, man.
Yep.
And, well, this is when they realize what happens to Peck at the stroke of midnight. He turns into what appears to be some kind of white-faced fucking zombie-type person.
Demon?
Kinda, yeah. Zombie? He's eating people, but he is more of a demon than he would be like a brains kind of zombie, you know. And
then it only lasts for 13 minutes.
13 minutes.
Yeah, right. From 12 to 12:13. After that, he's good.
After that, he's cool, man. He's good. And so what happens is they get that $3, and, you know, Peck's like, he's like, "Hold on." And he's got this, like, southern accent.
He's so great.
I know. He's like, "I got to go pay."
Right.
"I'll be right back." You know, he's like,
right?
"Don't you go anywhere."
Bro, you got it.
I know. I didn't even realize I could do that.
I know. You got it to a T.
But yeah, and I guess they're out there in the van waiting forever. And this is the first stop on the leg of this tour. The first fucking stop.
Night
they get paid
one.
$3 fucking dollars. They get paid. Yeah, night one. Judy decides, oh, man, come on, dude. I mean, you're really fucking this bathroom up, right? She goes in there and walks into Peck in his little demon face eating the fucking promoter of this little venue, okay? She's freaking out, and from there, hilarity ensues. They are torn. It's the classic good and evil. Okay, do they you know run away and turn this motherfucker in because he's been seen as a fucking monster, or do they keep on with their dream of being punk gods in their local band scene? And I don't know. I mean, what was some of your guys' favorite parts in this fucking movie? Because there's so many. You know, going on there. I mean, all the times, like, after that, and they go to the little diner, and he was like, I'll buy you something to eat, you know, and he's going on, and all, and he's like, after that, we're done. It, you know, if you want to part ways, fine. He breaks out this fucking wad of money, and they're like, yeah, all right. Except Judy. Judy isn't always so hip on the, you know, this idea. And, I don't know. What would you think about this, Dom? Talk to me.
Let me start by saying I love this movie, and I hate Judy. I'm gonna just say I hate Judy's character. Like,
right?
I'm like, oh, because she has no problem using people for her own advantage, and she actually, other than the fact that Peck's like killing people and eating them, I feel like Judy comes across as the worst person. Because there comes a point where she actually wants to steal his van and tries to get the keys from him so that she can just steal his van and go on and ignore all the fact that he had murdered people because it would inconvenience her and her core.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, still like I'm a steal your van now, like kind of mentality.
Right.
But Peck is great. Like the guy is so lovable. His character is just, it's hard not to like him.
Right.
And at the same time, that's how maybe the band's able to be like, well, he does turn into a demon or whatever the fuck he is for like 13 minutes every night. But other than that, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
Like, once we get past the part that he eats someone at night, he's a great guy the rest of the day.
Yep. He's one of those real friends.
Right?
He's one of those people that'll do absolutely anything for you.
Yeah, he will. And he comes across as that. And he's so genuine and he seems so authentic. And like he's just, like I said, he's such a lovable character.
Yep.
And they go on this spree and you find out that he's just killing people left and right. Like even when they don't think he's killing people, he's actually been killing people. They just didn't know. And then they meet the rival band, which is like, I don't know, this punk band, but the singer's like, he's one of these, he's a super artist or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's so stuck on himself that you instantly hate him.
Oh, yeah.
And they end up, and I've seen this happen, like, they ended up having to crash at, like, somebody's, because they've, there's times you do shows like, hey, anybody got a place for us to stay? Like, you're not joking. You really need a place to stay.
Yeah. So are we talking like, about Mr. Blowjob Eyes now?
No.
No. That's the dude in the other, where they just stayed. That, I'm talking about Mr. The guy with the super nose ring who tried to, like, bum a smoke off her and put the whole pack in his... And he sings barefoot because he's like, all natural and got to be one with the earth, kind of,
He gets up there, he's like, injustice, fear. Hey, that was your favorite band, I know.
But they have to stay at the, so they end up shacking up at the same girl's house. She's like, oh, you all can stay over at my grandma's. There's all kinds of room. And one band didn't know the other band was going to be there. So they're both there, and this douchebag's band. Well, I can't remember the name of this band. Judy's band was Duh.
Yeah.
Duh.
And then there was like, who was the headline? Like the Queef Queens. Or
Queef Queens were the headliners at the that one that was showcase. Back home, that showcase, yeah. That very last one. Yeah, the Queef Queens. And
his band, did they ever say the band? I don't even think they say the band's name, do they?
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking the same thing, and I just watched it, I think, for the second or third time tonight.
Yeah.
And I cannot think. I was thinking myself, what is the name of that fucking band? Because I was going to make a joke saying it was like your favorite band or something. And I was like, I can't.
I know, it's so awful, too. Like, his band is just so terrible. Like, he tries to say stuff like he's all artsy, and then he screams real bad.
I know. Like, yeah. Hold on. What about his guitar player there who does the little backup vocals? I can't remember how he does it. He's like, wah, 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 wah. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah, they're terrible. But, and then, so they decide they're going to, like, tie. I don't even know what their plan was, because their plan was, we're going to tie the other band up, and then we're going to go and get their spot at opening up for Queen Queef or Queef Queens or whatever, right. Whatever they were.
Yes.
Because they're not going to be able to make it. But, like, what about the girl and her grandma who were living in the house? Like, were they not going to find a band tied up in the red? Like, I don't know what this Scooby-Doo plan was that they had.
Yeah.
But at some point, Peck comes in, and this is my favorite part. Like, Peck comes in, Demon Peck or whatever comes in, and he just annihilates all the members of the band.
Oh my God.
And it is just great.
It is awesome. There are so many times where I would love to have a, you know, how many gallons of fake blood did you fucking use in this movie? I would love to know that, because there were times where it was like, okay, I had to step away from the mic for, you know, a hot second, so I don't know if you guys brought up the whole metalhead incident in the parking lot. There was a scene there where it was just it looks like they were just shooting blood out of a fucking, you know, fire, you know, hose. I mean, just gallons and gallons. Yeah, it was great. This was an awesome movie. I'm glad I picked it.
Yeah, you know what? It's like, this is fun, like an Evil Dead 2 kind of, you know? It's a comedy, right? Like,
yeah.
But we don't dispute, like, earlier we argued that, like, Priest really was an horror film. I don't, like, no one here is going to be like, oh, this isn't a horror film. Like, this is definitely a horror film.
It's definitely a horror comedy. Yeah.
It's at that, like, I put this up in that category. Like, to me, I put this up with Evil Dead 2 or Deathgasm, another one that we watched a while back.
Yes.
Like, that's another one that's, it's a comedy, but it's a horror film, and it's done right, and the story's great, and it is fun from beginning to end.
It really is, and
it's open for more. Like, they do leave it open at the end for potential sequels, and I hope there is, because if there's Uncle Pecker had to, I guarantee I will watch them.
I'm in there. Yeah, they did leave it open, and we're not going to tell you anything, because there was a really kind of strange ending. I found myself the first time watching it going, it's not really going to end like that, is it? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to be kind of pissed if it like fucking ends that way, even in a horror comedy. I just didn't want, you know, it to end certain ways, and, well, it didn't.
See, I love it anyway. I think it works on this one. I think it...
It does.
Leaving that open, because it's like, I do want to see part two.
I do too, man.
Why even fuck around and try to give me the whole story? Leave it open.
Matthew John Lawrence, damn it, you better be working on Uncle Peckerhead too.
Yeah, we want it. We want it. Like, yes.
What do we want? Uncle Peckerhead too. When do we want it? We want it now.
Now,
Matthew John Lawrence. Now, sir. All right. Well, I guess we can hand out some skulls. Mrs. Dreads, how many skulls you gonna give Uncle Peckerhead? Your favorite uncle.
I'll give it about a 4.5.
4.5?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was good.
It was good. It is. I think Dom said it perfectly. It is a fun movie from start to finish. Mm-hmm. It's just a fun ride, yep. And you don't, as any of the movies, the previous movies, and we still got one more. Mm-hmm. Any of the previous movies, you don't walk away from any of these movies we're talking this week, and be like, God, wasted my fucking time. I think you walk away from all these movies going, that was good. I'm glad I watched that.
Yep.
So yeah,
four and a half. Dom, what are you giving this one?
I also am giving this 4.5 skull.
Damn.
Like I said, I love it. It's up there. It almost got 5. I think we never did Evil Dead 2, but that's a 5 skull. And I think I might have gave Deathgasm a 5, but. This could be, it's real close, but yeah, I give it 4.5, and yeah, I highly recommend anyone listening, and I agree with what you said, any of these movies, but especially Uncle Peckerhead, mm-hmm. Give it a viewing. You're not going to regret watching anything we watch this week.
No, not at all. I'm going to follow suit. I'm going 4.5 as well, so we got 9, we got 13.5. Am I right on that one? 4.5, 4.5, that's 9. And then another 4.5, 13.5.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You get better.
Again, I'm just regurgitating what you guys have said. It's a fun movie, start to finish. If a Uncle Peckerhead 2, what about an Aunt Twat Waffle?
I would watch it.
I would watch
if
it.
If Matthew John Lawrence is going to write it and direct it, I will watch it.
Matthew John Lawrence, please write a Aunt Twat Waffle. Let's see if we can get something started here. Okay, so Uncle Peckerhead, man. That was just a really fun watch. Now, our last movie here in the last few minutes of the podcast, if anybody's a fan of the Toxic Avenger movie and that whole type of movie, the superhero horror type movie, this is one for you. James, Jackal Monkey, could not be here. And 2014 Canadian film Wolf Cop was his pick. So we are going
good
to
old Lou.
Oh, superhero comedy horror film. That's right. Lou. This movie's basically, and I'm just, this is a cop. Okay. Lou is an alcoholic. All right. To say the least, he has a lot of bad habits, and he also wears a fucking badge. He works for the sheriff's department. And it's a real small town, good old boy type deal, you know, and he ends up being cursed. He goes out. Okay. He's trying. I don't know if he's really trying to, you know,
he was out to investigate.
He's not trying. He's like the town joke alcoholic, but he's a cop.
But he's a fucking deputy. Right.
Yeah.
He goes out to, you know, investigate some noise, some, you know, disturbing the peace, something
Willie.
Like that.
At Willie's.
Kids party.
Yeah. Willie's.
Was it at Willie's? Not that time.
Yeah, like in the woods or whatever. Like he was the one who was complaining about him earlier in the day.
Oh, gotcha.
They got the report. Like, I don't want to come out here for some kids listening to heavy metal or something. Like, he was telling them they're Satanists.
Right. He ends up getting fucking, you know, cursed out there. And next thing you know, at the stroke of 10 p.m. I don't understand the significance. I know that is a weird time, ain't it? Wouldn't you think it'd be like midnight on a full moon, you know? Well, I guess we had one at midnight, you know,
tonight.
Peckerhead, Uncle Peckerhead. 10 p.m., good old Lou turns into a werewolf.
Yeah.
Werewolf.
Yeah.
Cop. Wolf cop. And, he starts to, at first, I don't think he's real hip on what's going on here.
Right.
He doesn't understand
He tries to figure it out.
He's trying to figure it out, and he ends up having some fun with it.
Yeah, hands up, pretty bad.
This again is a very, very fun movie, and again, Dom, you stated it in our chatting back and forth in the past week. You had told me this has a toxic Avenger type fun movie feel to it. You want to elaborate on that? Because I agree completely.
I haven't looked it up online. I don't know if this is or not, but here are my notes. Like, right in the beginning, the first thing I wrote down was Troma with a question mark. Like, is this a Troma film? Because I wrote down Troma style humor. You get, like, right in the beginning, like, you get this instant, if this isn't a Tromaville movie, then maybe they're kind of almost tipping the hat towards them, like, paying homage to the old Troma movies. But like, they show him patrolling around, and, like, he's driving by all this crime, and, like, the crime either pretends like there's no crime for a minute, or they threaten him, and then he just drives away, and he's the cop. And it's just like, oh, boy, this is going to be, like, you know from the beginning of the film what you're getting yourself, the kind of movie you're about to get.
Yes, indeed.
And that's what I felt like was, like, is this going to be a Troma kind of, and then it kind of dies off after that, and it's not so heavy on it. Like, it pays kind of like a almost like a tribute to it, I think, in the beginning. Like, and maybe that's where I get this comparison of Toxic Avenger, but it delivers after that. So that's why I'm able to kind of compare this to saying this is fun, like Toxic Avenger. Like, this movie has, first off, the coolest werewolf transformation I've seen since American Werewolf in London. Like, the werewolf, the way, like, you see how the excess human skin, instead of becoming like a going from human to wolf, it's almost like the wolf's inside and breaks out of the human flesh, out of the shell, and you see the skin part, and it, like, his face falls off. It's so great.
And remember the one cop? I hate to cut you off, but remember the one female cop? She's like, oh, look, this looks like your face. Hi, I'm Lou. And sorry I'm late, but I had to go down to the local brewery and investigate.
Right.
The humor is fucking, it's fucking great. It's everything that you want in kind of just a goofy, but yet, you know, well-made horror comedy.
And the backstory behind how he became cursed and stuff is great, because the reason he did end up in the woods was his buddy maybe not his buddy, but he thought he was his buddy.
Mm-hmm. I thought you would have fun telling this part of it, because we get into shapeshifters.
Yes. He was telling him about these Satanists in the woods, and they go for this noise complaint. And he gets down there, and I don't know, was he drunk or what happens, but, like, he loses consciousness. And he wakes up, like, he's kind of don't know what's happening. He kind of knows what's happening. And here, these Satanists, they got him tied upside down over, like, a pentagram. And across from him, they have a guy who's running for, like, mayor or something. Mm-hmm. Who's doing the classic, I'm going to clean this town up type stuff. And they're carving pentagrams into his flesh and stuff like this. And they're doing this whole ritual. And this is what turns him into a werewolf. Which we'll find out later on that the Satanists themselves are actually shapeshifters. And the reason they do this is something about consuming the blood from a werewolf something.
Werewolf blood on a fucking eclipse or something.
Right? Adds time on to how long shapeshifters can live on Earth or something. Like, it's actually a cool premise what they're doing. And I like that too.
Like, every 32 years or something.
Yeah, there's a pattern to it, because after he becomes a wolf, all of a sudden he goes from being, like, the town drunk, like the joke that everyone makes fun of, because he's on duty, but he's sitting in the bar just pounding shots. Right. That's how he does his shift. That's the kind of cop he is. Like,
now I want to be a cop.
Right? But now he's like solving crimes, and he's figuring things out, and people are kind of like, what's going on? Because he has all these heightened senses from becoming a werewolf. He hears better. He smells better.
He had the pig mask robbers at the old liquor and donut store.
Right. Liquor donuts.
Liquor donuts.
That's what it was. Liquor donuts.
His favorite store.
I know. And then he walks out because he kills these fucking robbers, man. He's in there and there's like a gun battle with this fucking wolf cop. And when he's done, he grabs one donut and a fucking big old gallon jug of whiskey.
And we find out him being an alcoholic as a werewolf, like, actually makes him a more powerful
makes him stronger, yeah.
And it's so good because, like, when you look at this, if you take out that whole part of, like, there's one part where he becomes the wolf cop and he goes in the cop uniform and he's a werewolf and he goes to liquor donuts and he takes them out. Outside of that, it's almost like it's almost a werewolf move. Like, you almost forget it's comedy until they do stuff like that. And you see them in there and they're given the description of like this, I forget how they didn't call him a werewolf. I forget what they called him, wearing a police uniform or something, who came in there and broke it up. Like, it is hilarious. Yeah. This movie, this is one of the movies that I wouldn't ever have picked out if I saw. I would have saw the description and been like, I ain't watching that dumb shit.
Yeah.
I am so fucking glad that I watched this because this movie is up there with the original Toxic Avenger. It belongs in that class. It, one day I hope people look at it at that kind of level. Like, yes, Wolf Cop, like, we were talking about making like a horror superhero kind of thing of who would be legitimate and stuff.
Right.
Toxic Avenger and Wolf Cop are definitely legitimate horror superheroes.
Yeah. Yeah. And didn't Toxic Avenger, did that movie kind of end with like a walk into the sunset kind of deal?
Yeah, there's more than one Toxic Avenger.
Well, I mean the original.
But yeah.
Okay, and that's exactly kind of how this one ended up. It ended up with Lou after he and his partner
Tina, wasn't that
Tina? I think it was her name, Tina, the other female cop. I think she worked a night shift, and then he would come in,
and then
they switched shifts. And she ended up in the final scenes, and she was a little injured. He was a little he's coming back from the old wolf cop thing, and he was like, I need a drink. She was like, You need a hospital. I need a hospital. Yeah. He was like, all right, well, that's two stops.
Yeah.
So we're gonna hit the bar, and it did have that feel to it. And so Mrs. Dredds, and unless any of you guys want to add anything to Wolf Cop, it's absolutely, I think, a must watch. What are you gonna give this one?
I'm gonna give that one 4.5 skulls.
4.5 skulls too, okay.
It's hilarious.
It's great. I don't think any one of us are going to tell any of the listeners any different about this movie. Dom, what are you giving this one?
Yeah, this is 4.5 skulls from Dom too. I love this movie. I'm so happy that I saw this movie.
Other than Priest, and it's just because I'm not that kind of movie collector. I'd probably buy the other three movies we covered, meaning this one, Infliction, and Uncle Peckerhead. I'd buy it. And I'm giving this one 4.5 skulls too. What were you going to say, buddy?
Those three are definitely movies worth buying. I agree. Like any horror fan should have those three in their collection. We'll enjoy all three. Infliction a little bit of time. Give it a chance.
Yeah, give it a chance.
The other two, you're good from the time you press play.
Yep.
Oh no, absolutely. I don't think they will be disappointed at all. My goodness, man, right up to the hour, man. Even pushed it a couple minutes with this review. Well, I mean, it's three of us have to do four fucking movies.
All five of us have been here.
I know.
If we did all five, we'd be 2 hours.
Oh my God, we'd be 2 hours deep in this.
I'd have been kicked off.
You would have. She would have quit. She wouldn't have been kicked off. She would have quit. She'd be like, I'm turning the mic off, man. There's enough of you, motherfucker.
Fuck this show.
Fuck this motherfucker.
No, because then we would have had to review my movie.
Fuck your show, nigga.
We would have had to review my movie.
Oh, my God. We would have had to.
We would have saved it for last.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, we run out of tape. The intro comes in at a blasting or outro. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, well, that was fun, man, as it always is, man. Mm-hmm. Talking some horror movies. And I appreciate you, Dom, joining us again, man. We'll have to get together real soon. Come up with, another batch of movies. Can't say they're going to be this pleasant all the time.
No.
They never are.
No. No, there's not been too many shows where, four movies that we talk about get high scores and also is highly recommended, Not too many times that happens.
Wolf Cop 1.
No, I think overall there was like 90% four-star ratings. Like there's only one film that got under four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So almost everything we did, got at least four.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So,
that ain't going to happen again.
I'll make damn sure that don't happen again. So, thank you, Dom. Stay on the line for a second. Thank you, Mrs. Dredge.
You're welcome.
All right. And we will talk to you crazy sons of bitches next week.